This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I'm so fired up that you've joined us today. Before it's all said and done, we'll talk about how we can maximize our impact on the kingdom and the financial wisdom of Scripture that churches and ministries can apply to fully flourish. But before we dive into that and my great guest for today, I want to invite you to join us on the mission that we have been chasing after all month long, and that is to help our boys to be free from the lies of the culture. That's right, we want to rescue boys this month. I'm a father of sons, and I'm grateful for the sons that God has given me. I'm grateful for Cameron and Judah, and I'm raising them in a culture where there is so much opportunity, and I praise God for that, but there is so much opportunity to be deceived as well. So many false messages, so many lies that are out there about identity and what it means to be a young man in this culture, who God is, and right from wrong. And I want them to be able to spot a lie and to avoid being consumed by those lies. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want that for your sons as well, your grandsons as well. So all month long, we're getting you the book, Lies Boys Believe. We want to help you to be on this mission to rescue your sons and grandsons and to lie proof, if you will, culture proof your sons from the deception of our current age. And so if you can support the program, a gift of any amount, we're going to send it out to you. Now, I do encourage you, be as generous as possible, because whatever you give on the other side of that, we proclaim the gospel. We use a megaphone, if you will, called radio, to impact communities throughout North America, U.S., and Canada. And every day we get testimonies of the impact of that. So your partnership makes that happen. So can you call today with your gift of $25 or $50 or $100 or $500 or more, whatever God allows and affords in your budget? Investing in the kingdom is the greatest investment you can make. There's no greater ROI, return on investment. Here's how you do it. The phone number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Or go to equipradio.org. Again, the phone number, 888-644-4144. 4144, or go to equipradio.org. Well, how does a pastor, how does a ministry, how do members of a church manage the tension that often arises around the ministry aspirations as well as the business affairs that have to be tended to? And in this day and age where there's so much scrutiny of Christian ministries, what should financial transparency look like? And who should be managing the resources of the ministry? How do you find the right people and ultimately build a structure that allows the ministry to grow in its impact for Christ and for his kingdom? Well, all those questions and more are addressed in a wonderful book I have in my hand called The Business of Ministry, How to Maximize God's Resource for Kingdom Impact. I'm so grateful to have Pastor Jeff Simmons with me today. He's the founding and senior pastor of Rolling Hills Community Church, which he and his wife Lisa planted 20-plus years ago. The church grew from 15 people meeting in their apartment clubhouse. I love those clubhouses. Now it is a church of thousands that has campuses throughout the Nashville, Tennessee area. He has a business background, a ministry background, and has written a book that combines it all. And I'm so grateful to have Pastor Jeff with us. How are you, sir?
Hey, Pastor Chris. So great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Man, you got a bustling staff there. You guys have a huge passion for the nations. You got over 80 full-time staff for the church, 55 international staff. You got a learning center with, if I'm right, about 70 or so.
Yeah, 70 or so staff there. We've got 250, well, about one campus, about another 150 more. It's about 400 kids, you know, wow. Monday through Friday. So, yeah, God's been good. Just trying to share the love of Christ and raise up fully mature disciples.
Man, first off, what a testimony of God's grace. You and I both know that it takes the Lord and it takes a whole lot of grace in order for ministries to thrive. But it also takes good stewardship. You know, I remember when I started in ministry, a really wise older pastor said, "Chris, don't touch the women and don't mess with the money and you'll be okay." And it was his way of saying the two big things that often take a ministry under are sexual impropriety, financial scandals, and we see those things all around us. And I think there's a number of contributing reasons to why those things happen. But oftentimes it's because we go through seminary and we're just not prepared for a lot of the things that we face. Today, I want to talk about the business side of things because it is one of the big two that often take ministries under. Let's talk about the preparation. Most leaders of ministry, be it parachurch or churches, don't get a whole lot of training in business and finance, do they?
Wow. I mean, you're exactly right, Chris. I tell you, you know, I went to seminary and I loved it. You know, you study biblical hermeneutics and systematic theology, and it was great. And then I remember my first ministry job, and I came in during budget season, and all the pastors were stressed out, you know, all this staff. And, you know, it was just kind of a crazy time. And by the grace of God, I had my undergrad in finance and marketing, like you. And, and so I just walked into that and went going, okay, yeah, let's go. We got revenue, we got expenses, you know, what do we need to do as far as planning and budgets? And by the grace of God, it just, at least it gave us some framework, but it also showed me that, you know, most of our seminaries don't prepare pastors, and you have so many incredible pastors with loving hearts. And I'm so thankful for men and women who serve so faithfully in the church and in nonprofits and all the lay leaders. And so that's really why I wrote the book, is just to help us and help pastors know the business side of ministry and how to maximize God's resources for kingdom impact.
Yeah, we do share a lot in common, both of us pastoring, both of us with finance degrees and background. And I would say we fall into the rare category of people who get a little bit excited and energized when budgeting season comes around. And full disclosure, we're in budgeting season at our church right now as we speak. We're planning for the future and all of those wonderful things. And I like to say 26 years ago when I started in pastoral ministry, I had an afro. Now, if you look at my pictures, those days are long gone, Jeff. They are long gone. Those are stressful seasons. I get a sense we go to the same barber. But let's just talk about the book. Why did you write the book, and who did you write it for, and what's your hope for those who read it?
Yeah, I really did. I wrote it for pastors. I wrote it for nonprofit leaders. I really wrote it for lay people in the church who want to see financial transparency, who want to have that integrity. I love that example that you started off with about the older pastor who told you, you know, it's women and money. And you see so many pastors or ministries that fail because of those two things, that sexual impropriety and then also just not being good stewards with the money. And it makes a difference. And so many ministries have fallen. But then there's also, you know, you drive by and there's a lot of church buildings that are sitting empty. And you're thinking, well, that person had a good heart, you know, and God called a pastor there. And then what happened? But it's the organization, it's the business, it's the stewardship of those resources that really get so many churches off track, or nonprofits or Christian schools, because they don't have that just kind of foundation with the business principles that you can apply to have kingdom impact.
All right, I want to talk about a few tensions, but I do want to address, you're listening, those of you who are listening, two categories of people I really want to pay close attention. If you're leading a ministry in mm-hmm. any capacity, that's a local church, that's a non-local church ministry, wherever you find yourself leading, we want you to have a testimony, not just of spiritual impact, but good stewardship. And, yeah. and hopefully you want that as well. But I also want to speak to those who say, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the teacher, I'm not the elder, but I am a business person, or I have a natural affinity or training in these areas. And maybe, you know, I was raised in a tradition, Jeff, that if you couldn't preach, you couldn't sing, well, the only thing you can do is write a check. And what I've learned over the years is that, no, there's a lot that I can learn from those who are in the business world Monday through Friday. Talk about what pastors, why pastors need relationships with men and women who are not in ministry, but yet can add practical wisdom.
Wow, Chris, you just nailed it right there. I mean, that's the big thing. I think, you know, we go to seminary, we're not studying business there. We're studying, you know, scripture and being able to teach and preach. But there are a lot of incredible people who come to church every week and they want to use their gifts. And like you said, you know, 5 days a week they're in the business world or they're in construction. And so as a pastor, as a lay leader, I just encourage you, get involved and get people around you. You know, have a finance team who helps oversee all the books and all the expenditures. You know, have people who work in construction that can say, hey, you know, we need to take care of the building. We need to have good stewardship here, or even planning, you know. And for every person, God has given us gifts. We're all uniquely gifted, and using those gifts for the glory of God. And we can't let the pastor, you know, just be the lid, right? It's not just about the pastor. It's about Jesus. And so the church is the body of Christ, and every person has a gift. And when we use those gifts together, then it makes such an impact for God's kingdom. So, yeah, you're right on.
You know, every time I love church history, and every time I hear these stories from church history of great missions work or great Christian higher education work or great local church work, we typically hear of the missionary or the pastor or the preacher or teacher who became well known because of it. But I also look for the business people who were a part of that work, because oftentimes they're the unsung heroes who help to manage the finances, who help to raise the money. Because the reality is that it takes resources to fuel ministry. Now, we're up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about why God designed it that way and the role you can play, because Jeff's book is not just a handbook on how to have the right structures in place. It certainly gives you wisdom on that, but it is an invitation to join God in the joy of generosity. And it really is a joy to be generous to God's work. And I want you to experience that joy today. So I'm going to encourage you to order your copy of The Business of Ministry. Even if you're not leading the local church, you're a part of a body of believers. You're a member of the body of Christ, and you play an important role. So go to our website, equipradio.org. I promise you this interview is going to be valuable to you. So I want you to stick and stay. We're going to talk about how to proclaim the gospel and how to support its sustainability and everything in between next up on Equip. Forming your son into a man who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth won't just happen, but it's a skill he can learn as you lead him. Lies Boys Believe is a lie-busting, truth-telling book, and it comes with a parent guide, too. We'll equip you to train your son to love and trust God's word. These two resources are yours with the gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or give online at equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. It is hard to believe, but Easter is right around the corner. As a Protestant Christian, there are no, there's no other day, really, that is more high, more holy than what we do at Easter and that entire weekend, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus from Good Friday to Easter and the week leading up. In Lent season, which is what we're in right now, it's an opportunity to prepare your heart by reflecting deeply on the sacrifice of our Lord, why we need the cross, and why the world needs the cross. And one of the ways I want to encourage you to reflect on the cross, one of the ways I want to encourage you to participate in Lent season, is to think about how you can sacrificially give yourself more to Christ and to the cause of Christ through your local church, through supporting ministries that are committed to proclaiming the gospel. Maybe Quip has been a blessing to you. Maybe you've listened to our guest and been blessed by resources, the wisdom that you've experienced through this program, or just been encouraged through it. I would encourage you to consider supporting us today. Your gift allows us to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that salvation is found in him and in him alone. And if that is important to you, reaching people in your community with the good news of God's grace through Jesus Christ, can you stand with us today? Call this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Or go to equipradio.org. Joining me today is Pastor Jeff Simmons. And Jeff pastors a great church, Rolling Hills Community Church. If you're in the Nashville area, would love for you to find one of their campuses and worship with them this weekend. But also, he's written a book that I would encourage you to pick up, The Business of Ministry, How to Maximize God's Resources for Kingdom Impact. Let's talk about how God has designed the kingdom to work. It feels like, Jeff, man, all of us in our heart would rather not have to raise resources for ministry. Like, I think most of us would say, if I could just focus in on preaching or evangelism or missions, that's all I would do. Yet God has structured things in a way where ministry does require generosity. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. You know, Jesus talked about money more than any other topic. I mean, when you start to read through the Gospels and you start to read the parables and stories, and I think that Jesus did that because he knows, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so in this world, it's so easy to get caught up with more stuff and more things and to find our identity and what the world says about us. But I think when we're generous and we invest in God's kingdom, we grow to look more like Jesus. And so it is a dependency. It is a faith. It is discipleship for us to invest the, not only our money, but our time and our energy and our resources for the glory of God. And when we do that, I believe we become more like Christ, right? For God so loved the world, he gave, right? We know that. Yeah, but God was the generous one. God started this whole thing. And so when we give, when we invest, and when we spend time with the Lord, man, we are growing to be more like Christ.
You know, it's interesting. It was, you may be familiar, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years ago now that John Piper wrote the famous book, Brother, We Are Not Professionals.
Yes.
And I remember when that book came out, and I appreciate the heart of his message, which was to say that the church needs to run based off of scripture, not based off of just mere pragmatics or business principles, right, and that we need to see ourselves as ministers, not just CEOs. But I think the concern that I had, and I still have, is that what so often is missed in that kind of paradigm is the fact that business affairs of the church are unavoidable. And in some ways, they rise to the level of importance that, again, top two things that can get a ministry just totally off the tracks. So how have you balanced that, the old Acts 6 tension in your ministry? Yeah. Do you give yourself over to prayer and the preaching of God's word, or do you sit through business and finance meetings and budgeting meetings and personnel meetings? How does Pastor Jeff balance that?
Chris, that is a great question. And I think it is for every pastor, every nonprofit leader. You know, there's always this tension between business and ministry. And yet, I think when you look through Scripture, you see how God called people and called leaders, but they've also managed that tension. You know, you think about Moses building a tabernacle, and God says, well, here's some guys that are gifted in construction. You know, they're going to come alongside you and help you. Or Jethro was saying to him, you know, what you're doing is not good. You need to have other people involved. Like Acts chapter 6, I mean, the early church was growing so fast. I mean, it was a mega church, right? I mean, there's 3,000 people at Pentecost give their lives to Christ. And then, like you said, in Acts chapter 6, all of a sudden the apostles are like, we don't have time to do the ministry, right? We don't have time to prepare sermons and pray. And so they called out 7 men who are full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit and said, you guys take over taking care of the widows in the church and helping the body of Christ. See the delegation, and it says, so God spread. People started stepping up and using their gifts, the word of God spread. So I do think it's not a problem to be solved. I think it's a tension to be managed. And for us as pastors, we have to continue to stay focused on Christ and Christ alone and our time with the Lord and prayer. But we also delegate, how do we do the business of ministry? How do we do that with lay people in the church and letting them use their gifts and further God's kingdom? And if it's all built just on one person, right, if it's just a pastor or just, you know, worship, it's going to fall. It needs the whole body of Christ standing together and Jesus being lifted up. And, you know, when Jesus is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. And so I think that's what you see in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and what God's called us as the church to do today.
All right, so you just gave what I think is one of the big keys that we see throughout the New Testament, and that is delegation, teams, plurality of teams, the fact that one person can't do it all. No one person can do the full work of Christ by him or herself. And so let's talk about finding the right people. What wisdom do you give to leaders on how to find those right people?
Yeah, that's a great question. Prayer, you know, I think being on your knees and saying, Lord, you know, bring the right people to me, you know, and surround me and surround your church, knowing godly leaders. I think that is so important. I think people that you look around and you call them out. I think there's people sitting around us every day, every Sunday, who have gifts, but they've never been asked. And I think there's just power in asking. So I think praying and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and then asking people, hey, would you use your gifts? You obviously have a gift in land, or you have a gift in construction, or you have a gift in finance. You know, that's not my gift, but can you come alongside and help me do that? I think the third is the people of integrity. You know, you look for those people of integrity who have a heart for the church, who have a heart for the ministry, whether it's the Christian school or the nonprofit. And yet they can do more, and they want to do more. And so when you see their life and you see their character, you see their family, you see that integrity, and you say, hey, let me get into this. Those men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, it tells us 6. So I think, you know, God uses men and women who have these different gifts and these skill sets. And for us as pastors and as nonprofit leaders and as lay leaders in the church, it's inviting people to be a part of what God's doing. It's inviting them into that greater story and then watching them use their gifts and do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine.
You know, brother, I could not say amen to what you just said more, that sometimes we underestimate just the power of an invitation. You know,
come on.
I have very rarely been turned down by someone who I've gone to humbly ask for their wisdom or expertise in a particular area. You know, the truth of the matter is that not everybody's going to have the ability to give financially, in particular at the same level. We all should be faithful as much as we can, and we're going to get to that. But people often, more often than not, want to deploy their wisdom. They want to deploy their expertise.
Yes.
And so I would agree with you wholeheartedly that one of the things we need to do is to simply be willing to invite and to say to people who may not even see where they fit in the ministry. Again, I go back to it. I was raised in a tradition where if you couldn't preach, you couldn't sing. Sit back and enjoy the show was kind of the unspoken message. Now, I don't think that was intended, but that's often what people pick up. And then if you go to people and begin to say, hey, I recognize that your background may not be in Bible college or seminary, but yet you're a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ and you have expertise in other areas. You mentioned construction. We've talked about business. There's so many different areas. It's like being able to say to someone, we need you is one of the great things you can do. Pastor Jeff also in the book lists three C's. And pastors, I will tell you, when it comes to hiring, recruiting, monitoring your team building, these three C's are absolutely essential for building the right team. Character, competency, chemistry. Find out more about those three C's in his book, The Business of Ministry, so that like Pastor Jeff, you can build a rock solid team that can support God's growth and blessing of the ministry. We want you to have maximum kingdom impact. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Go to our website, order the book, The Business of Ministry. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks, having a fascinating conversation with Pastor Jeff Simmons. He joins me today. He's the author of the book, The Business of Ministry, How to Maximize God's Resources for Kingdom Impact. And I'm so grateful that he has joined me today. And I'm grateful for you as well. Your listenership makes all the difference. Your partnership in the gospel adds fuel to the engine that is Equip. So let me say thank you. I want to encourage you, go to our website, learn more about Equip, go to our social media platforms, and if you're on social media, click that share button so that others can enjoy this conversation and be blessed and encouraged by it as well. Maybe you're a leader who needs prayer or encouragement. Connect with us via social media. We love pastors here. I am a pastor. I love pastors. I'm unapologetic about that. Ministry leaders, I know it's tough. It's not easy. It can only be done by the grace of God through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But when you remain faithful and keep your eyes on Jesus and you're committed to reaching the world for him, I do believe that he is with you and that it is possible to have impact for him that lasts, fruit that remains, as the scripture describes it. So I want to encourage you to know you got a friend here at Equip. So reach out to us, connect with us. Go to social media today. Leave a comment in the comment section. We'd love to follow up with you and pray with you as well. Pastor Jeff, again, so grateful for you being with us. I want to ask you to pretend with me for a moment. You're in a room full of ministry leaders, just folks who go to church or are involved in various ministries. What do you want them to know that maybe they don't know about the business side of ministry and how to best leverage their resources for the kingdom?
Yeah, I would say this, that everybody has a calling, right? There's some that God calls out for vocational calling, but every person in Christ has a calling. And for us to be able to share Christ, for us to pray, for us to give, but also for us to build God's church. And that's what's going to last, right? When we pass on to the next generation, God's church, when we pass on that faithfulness to our kids, to our grandkids, to generations that will come way behind us. And so everybody, it takes all of us doing the work of God today. And don't just, think, oh, well, hey, we pay a salary to a pastor or to somebody else and they do the work of God. They build God's church. No, it's you. And so all of us are called and uniquely gifted. And whether that is preaching or leading a teaching, a small group, or leading children, or doing worship, or business. And I think that call, also, if you have finance team, you can serve there. You know, you can help the church get better in all these different areas of business. And some people, that's the way you're wired. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. Help the church. Help a nonprofit. Come alongside in a Christian school and impact generations for the glory of God.
It seems to me that so much of your passion, Jeff, is just driven by this deep sense that you're convinced that we desperately need thriving churches and ministry. Is that right?
Oh, I'm so convinced, Chris. I tell you, you know, we live in the wealthiest nation that's ever existed in history. And I mean, you think about that. I mean, we have more money today, more resources today, more opportunities today, you know, with the internet, with everything else, more ways to share the gospel today. And I think what can happen is it becomes a distraction. You know, I remember being on a mission trip, and I was in the Amazon jungle, and I was at this village, and I was at the church, and I said, hey, how can I pray for you all? And they said, well, we pray for you. How do you, in America, how is you at people? Keep people in church. I mean, there's so many distractions. There's so many things that are coming against you there. And I thought, wow, these people don't have anything, but they have a joy and a depth in their relationship with the Lord. And I think for us, it's so easy to go, well, I'm going to take my talents and use it to make money. I'm going to take my talents and use it, you know, to build a business, you know, or corporation. And that's fine. But man, what if we could also use those talents to build God's church, to build God's kingdom, and put that much energy and passion into it, and just think, man, what a difference we can make. We could see the gospel go to the ends of the earth. We could see churches impacting communities in all kinds of places. We have that opportunity today, and that's why I think I'm so passionate about it today.
You know, I think about leaders like Billy Graham and others who are noted evangelists that, you know, God used. I even think about, I work with Moody Radio, and I think about the story of Dwight L. Moody. And I think about these great business leaders who were behind them, who resources really fueled it. And one of the things we would be remiss if we didn't talk about is that for some people, your call to ministry is a call to the, and you've been given the gift of generosity or giving, and you are going to leave a legacy through your generosity. And I would love for you, Jeff, for just a moment to talk to those who might be able to, because of God's grace, do what others may not be able to do with their generosity. Now, again, all of us should be generous. Any basic reading of the New Testament, and you did a good job earlier connecting that to the character of God. It really is a reflection that you are His, He is yours, that you're a follower of Jesus when you are generous. So all of us should do that, be it the widow's mite, and you say, I have a handful of resources, and I'm going to give that. But there are also those who have been blessed by God in a special way to be able to demonstrate special generosity that can literally be the difference between changing a generation or not, fueling global missions or not, sustaining a church or not. Talk to that group.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a big movement, you know, you've seen it on Wall Street, right, where Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are giving away half of their wealth, and I think people, you know, there's a whole movement, die with zero, like, you know, you want to give everything away. Well, the fact is we're all going to die with zero anyway, right? We're not going to take any of this with us, right? So, I mean, the old saying that, you know, pastors love to use, yeah, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? So it doesn't matter how much stuff you acquire. We're not taking it with us, but what we can do is send it ahead. What we can do, Jesus says, is there's eternal impact. And so I think for every believer, every Christ follower, we have to evaluate what we've been given and how are we using that? How are we stewarding that? And man, for those who have, you know, kind of bigger wealth and more finances and more opportunities to give, be generous. You can't take it with you. And the fact is, too, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I want to leave a lot to my kids. It's not healthy. You know, I mean, leave some for your kids, but you don't want to leave so much that they're not, you know, industrious, they're not using their gifts. You want them to be able to still be taken care of, brought to take care of them. God took care of you. And so for you to, like, bless your kids, but not give them too much. But bless God's church in the middle of that. Bless God's children, right? Not just your own. I mean, every child, and you have the opportunity. And that's what I think, man, in global missions and ministry, you know, we do work with orphans in Moldova and with the, you know, river people in the Amazon. And, you know, it's just amazing to see how a little goes so far down there. And it makes an impact. And you can change a kid's life. You can change their generational tree. And I think about, like, Tudor, this kid we met when I went to Moldova for the first time. And he was a troubled kid and had nobody, no parents, nothing. And, you know, we kept going back. And we bought a house over there. We had transitional homes. And by the grace of God, he came to know Christ. And now today, you know, he married Stella, who was in another one of our transitional homes. And they just had their first child, Celine. And I look at them, and he's involved in church. He's a leader. And I'm just thinking, God, thank you. Think about the impact that he's going to have on his kids, and they're pregnant again, and on so many others. And because of the generosity of people saying, hey, we're going to go and buy a house in Moldova. And people gave. And I know people who gave $100,000 to help buy a house there. And you think about the impact that they're having today. So, man, let's make a difference, Chris.
Yeah, what a great story. And thank you for sharing that. Thanks for what you guys are doing globally, internationally. And I know a lot of your motivation is driven by the fact that, you know, one day we're going to stand before Christ as well. You say this in your dedication page, and I've read a lot of dedication pages in books. And so often it's to people who are meaningful in a person's life and journey, but you dedicate your book to the one who has called us to steward his church and work in our day and generation. May he find us faithful. How much of your motivation is the hope and the desire to one day stand before him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant?
Oh, Chris, that's it right there. I mean, I want to live my life fully for the glory of God. You know, I want him to be glorified in everything I say and everything I do. And that really is the motivation. You know, I think about Jesus telling that parable, right, in Matthew 25. And he talked about a man going on a journey, and he said he entrusted all he had to these three servants, right? And to one, he entrusted five talents, or some translations say bags of gold. So the money that he entrusted to them, you know, or two to another one, two talents or bags of gold, and then to the other one, one. And it says that he left, and immediately the one with five went and put it to work, and he gained five more, and the one with two put it to work and gained two more. But the one with one, you know the parable, right? He says he buried it. The one with one buried it, and he said, I was afraid. I was afraid, so I didn't do anything. And the master comes back, and he has them all stand before him, and they have to give an account of their lives. And this is Matthew 25, right before the sheep and the goats that Jesus is talking about. So there's this accountability that we'll all stand before God one day. And to the one who had five, you know, he says, I gained five more. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant, you know. And to the one with two, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the one with one, he says, you wicked, lazy servant. And that just always has gripped me, like, man, I never want to be called that, you know, and Jesus is saying those words, right? You're wicked or you're lazy. Come on. Every one of us, it doesn't matter how much we have. What matters is what we do with it. What matters is how we invest it for God's kingdom and God's glory. And one day, I pray every person listening to this, every single one of us will stand before God, and we're going to hear those words that we all long to hear, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, come share your master's happiness. Oh,
so good. Friends, what I want you to hear, you're going to hear from Jeff a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight, a lot of practical guidance. But what I get from the book is what you just heard, and that is passion. You're going to walk away with a huge passion, like, Lord, use me. And yes, this is a great time for the kingdom. Don't let the news reports tell you otherwise. Don't believe the headlines that somehow faith is on the decline, or the gospel doesn't work anymore, or that people aren't interested in Jesus. I'm telling you right now, hearts are just as open as they've always been. The gospel is just as powerful as it's always been. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, is just as much on the move as he's always been. We just have to make sure that we're mobilized and ready to maximize our resources for kingdom impact. And that resource, it's not just money, that's part of it, but it's your time, it's your talent, it's your treasure, it's your voice for the kingdom. One final thing before we take our final break, and that is, you know, Jeff, we've all seen laws change around our country and prayer being banned in some places, public places, and pressure to not, you know, be public with your faith. But one thing that no law can ever ban is generosity. You know, there's no prohibition on us being generous to our to the kingdom, to our local churches. And so do it and maximize your impact for God's kingdom. When we come back, I'm going to have Jeff speak to parents and grandparents on how we can have a multi-generational legacy of impact for God's kingdom. While we're on this break, go to our website, order the book, The Business of Ministry, at equipradio.org. At Equipped, it's our goal to strengthen your faith. And we're always excited as we hear stories of people coming to faith as a result of our program. But we couldn't possibly accomplish this mission alone. That's why we're looking for equippers and people just like you who will give a monthly gift to help us keep this program on the air. Would you consider partnering with us? Become an equipper today and receive special insider benefits, such as a bi-weekly email that contains pastoral messages prepared just for you. Call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Jeff Simmons believes that our greatest joy is found when we are living fully committed to God and utilizing our gifts, opportunities, and influence for His glory. Maybe you have been living a life that you would even deem successful, but you're not satisfied. Maybe you've been searching for meaning and purpose. Maybe even crying out, God, use me. Well, the life fully dedicated to God and His glory, fully leveraging your gifts, your opportunities, and influence for Him is a life that is full of joy. I promise you. That's why I want to encourage you to get Jeff's book, The Business of Ministry. It will speak to your heart. Go to our website, equipradio.org. Jeff, I love you and Lisa's commitment to family. I know you got three kids. Any grandkids?
Oh, grandkids, yeah. So we have one in college and then two in high school right now. So
all right, so they're a little bit early, but yet I'm sure, just like me, you're already thinking about a multi-generational legacy. I know I'm praying about the ones that are here and the grandchildren that are yet to come already. What do you want parents and grandparents to know about raising up the next generation and instilling in the next generation the principles you're talking about in the book?
Yeah, Chris, that is such a great question. I do think every one of us has that opportunity, right, to leave generational impact. And you want your kids to know how much you love Jesus. You want them to know how much you loved God's church, because that's what's going to last. And I think as parents, we can get caught up. You know, my kids play sports. I mean, probably maybe your kids do too. And so there's always these demands, or, you know, we've got theater and there's all these schedules. And you see a lot of people who drop out of church during, you know, football season or baseball or basketball, or and you're kind of going, what happened? And then a lot of them end up not coming back because their kids have travel ball or whatever. And you're going, well, that's fine for them to play, but man, I want them to know Jesus, because I mean, realistically, they're probably not even going to play in college or NBA or whatever, but Jesus is going to last a lifetime. And so staying faithful with your kids and pointing them to Jesus, being generous, teaching them to tithe at a young age, I think is so important. You know, I've got a girl who babysits, and man, you know, she comes home and she tithes on that, you know, what she makes. And so we always talk about that. You give your first, you give your first 10% back to God, you save your next 10%, and then you live on 80%, and you learn to live below your means. But I think as parents, as grandparents, teaching our kids about money, teaching our kids about stewardship of money, but also stewardship of time, and I'm going to prioritize the Lord with my time. And that's where you know this, right? I mean, maybe you had a grandparent, you know, and my grandmother was so godly. And I remember now, you know, thinking about her praying for me and just thinking about that legacy, that impact on my life. I remember one day walking by my dad's room and as a young child, and he was on his knees. And I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he looked up. He said, "I'm praying for you." And, you know, that's the part I'm always going to remember about my dad.
Awesome.
You know, and so,
yeah, so
I think those are those things that, man, how are we living as parents and grandparents? We can get caught up in buying our kids the newest, nicest thing and think that that's going to buy their love. They don't really care about that, honestly. What they care about is you. They care about the time with you. They care about, you know, the difference you make in their life. And so, man, pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to church, being a person of character, teaching them stewardship, I think that's our call as parents, as grandparents.
You know, one of the things that the Lord has impressed upon my heart in recent years for me and my wife is not just to tell the kids, our kids, the what of our faith, but the why behind it as well.
Yeah.
Because so often my kids, I realize, man, they see me reading the Bible or they see me praying or going to church, but they may not know why. Why does Dad love Jesus? What is mom's testimony, grandma, grandpa? Mm-hmm. So one of the great things I think that grandparents and parents can do is just tell your testimony to your kids.
Yes.
Let that be a part of their inheritance and legacy of you sharing with them, this is why I am following Jesus. This is why we love him. One of the things we couldn't get to, and we're all out of time now, Jeff, was the financial transparency conversation. But I will tell you, in a day and age where there's so much scrutiny on ministries, the chapter and the sections that you give to financial transparency is worth the book. The things that Rolling Hills has done is exemplary, friends. Jeff is also the president of Justice and Mercy International. They've kind of set a standard for financial transparency that is a great model for the rest of us. Integrity in our personal life and in our ministry is so important in this hour. Jeff, time flies when you're having fun. It's been such a joy talking to you, brother. Thanks for stopping by Equip.
Oh, Chris, I've loved it, man. Just love what you're doing and praying for you and for everybody listening today. Blessings on you all.
Friends, the book is called The Business of Ministry: How to Maximize God's Resources for His Kingdom. I want to encourage you to get a copy of it. Go to our website, equipradio.org. And until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.